Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
From Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, this is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you more than three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. There are more than 65 million Americans right now that are serving as a family caregiver, putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse, disaster. How do you help those folks? What does that look like? What's the vocabulary you use when you want to reach out to them and help them? For you caregivers, what does help look like to you? Do you know how to ask for it? Do you know how to receive it? That's what this show is all about, is strengthening the one pushing the wheelchair, standing in the hospital room corner, back and forth to the doctor's office, holding down a job while they're doing it, all the above. That's what this show is about, and we are so glad you're with us. If you want to see more, it's hopeforthecaregiver.com, and you can follow along online and see all of our podcasts, books. The book is Hope for the Caregiver. It's all out there because we are about equipping and strengthening the family caregiver. And we also have with us the Baron of the Board, the Sultan of the Sound, the Earl of Engineering, the man who was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Achievement in Audio Coolness. He is John Butler, the Count of Mighty Disco, everyone.
Never get tired of that theme song. Oh, it feels
great. We never get tired of you, John.
Oh, back at you, buddy. No, I always feel like I'm parting the curtains and
sweeping out into stage.
Absolutely.
Well, you are. You're that kind of guy. Hey, I'm glad you're with us.
Oh, back at you. Yeah, I'm
big
glad
day
to be
today.
Here.
Big day today.
Oh, yeah?
Big day today.
Tell me why.
Want to welcome a new station to our network.
Fantastic. Always love to get this kind of news.
I love all the affiliates. Love every one of them. This station, I have to admit, has a little extra personal significance to me.
Okay.
I listened to them growing up.
Really?
In the upstate of South Carolina. Christian Talk, 660 and 92.9 FM.
Right on.
And I listened to them growing up. I'm from Anderson, and I have a family still down there, and I've got a sister in Greenville and two brothers in the Anderson County area. And it is such a treat to have my home station.
Yeah, it's
now,
your home
carrying
base.
The show.
I didn't know that. That's good stuff,
so,
man.
I got to give a big shout out to Gary Miller and all the folks there. Thank you for seeing the value in what we do and being willing to put this on the air there in the upstate of South Carolina. It's, I'm Carolina born, Carolina bred. When I die, I'll be Carolina dead. Born and raised there. And still engaged back in the community. Love to go back.
Oh yeah, yeah. I hear about you going back, and that's good. That's
well,
very special.
See mom and dad, know? And I tell you, when there's a point though, when you start getting closer to it, and you see those pine trees, and you see that red dirt, and you, I don't know, just it's home. And
yeah.
And so I'm just grateful to be on the air with them, and thank you all for letting us come into your cars and your homes, and as you're walking and listening to the station. We're so glad you're with us. It means an awful lot. And thank you for recognizing that family caregivers deserve a show for themselves to be able to equip them for this journey. It is not an easy journey. And we're all about strengthening the family caregiver here. Speaking of which, we'd like to get to our caregiver tip of the day.
That's our new caregiver tip.
Is that our new theme
That's
song?
That's the new theme song for the caregiver tip. I just wanted to let you know that was going on.
For those of you just new to the show, this is something we do every week just to give something you can hang your hat on today, right now. See, a lot of people think you got to have some kind of big program or some kind of government-funded thing to do to help caregivers. Those are important.
I often ask myself, I could really use an 18-week course on how to be a better caregiver.
Couldn't we all?
Yes.
But who has time?
So
we try to give 18-second courses.
There you go.
And that's the thing. We don't. There are lots of things you can do. We would certainly love to see big program areas and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, most of us as caregivers need something that we can do right now. And here is something. And this is brought to you by AARP of Tennessee here in Nashville. The folks here at AARP of Tennessee have been just such a big supporter of this show. And they have a lot of resources at aarp.org/TN. And you can go out and check. You don't have to even live in Tennessee to go check out and see what they have to offer for caregivers. There's so many things that they do. And I think that you will find them incredibly helpful. So our caregiver tip of the day, check your bank statements.
Ooh.
Now, let me explain. Let me go a little deeper.
Lucy?
As caregivers, we have so many things hitting us on a regular basis. And there are little subscriptions that you may or your loved one may sign up for inadvertently and forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
And every month it's drawing out of your account. And if you're not diligent on those things to see that and go through, you can get into a real mess.
Oh, yeah.
And waste lots of money.
We talk about needing to be fiscally healthy on this show a lot. And that's a big one. I was just at the bank the other day, and I won't say which bank, but there's a bank that's now charging me $12 a month for some accounts that's just extraneous. And it's two of them. It's $24 a month that I do not need to be spending.
That's a pizza.
That's important to me. All units are in pizza. How many pizzas is this going to cost me? You know.
Well, and see, this is what happens. We have so many things going on in our lives that it's easy to forget about that and say, "Well, it's only $4.95." And not just your bank account on you know with your checking account and so forth. Check your phone to see what subscriptions that you've signed up for with an app or something like that that you may not think about. And I have a couple of them on my phone. Security things and so forth. I have a lot of memory things that I've signed up for that I get billed every month for. Those are important to me, but I still have to go back and make sure, okay, let me have a list of all the things I'm doing and paying for, because a lot of times I'll pay for like cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
And you
and
get
it's through your phone, yeah.
And you get a lot of, you know, these $10 charges or $19.95 charges, iTunes or whatever, you know, all iCloud or whatever. And then they're products and services that want you to try it out for a 2-week trial, and then you forget about it.
Oh yeah.
Or your loved one forgets about it. And maybe it's not on your checking account, but maybe it's on their checking account.
This is for parents. You know, your kids are very good at using those new phones and new computers and everything like that, but they're also not as savvy at knowing when something is an ad or something like that, where you accidentally click on it and it just goes right through. It's just that sort
of
thing.
Well, and maybe you're taking care of your parents' checking account now.
Yeah.
Go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And there are services that you can get out there, by the way, to have these things flagged for you. You can sign up for a subscription to that. If you're going to sign up for subscriptions of things, make sure it's something that you really that is working to protect you, not just some kind of piece of entertainment or a beauty product or something like that that's just superfluous that you don't need in your life. The whole point about being a caregiver, I have found in my lengthy years of this, is to simplify. I mean, let's cut away the waste, you know, and I have to do that periodically myself. I mean, I'm going to be doing that tonight.
Okay.
I've got a subscription I use for a help desk kind of thing for my computer, but I've changed computers. And I realized I still got that thing going. It was $14.99 a month. And so I got to change that over and get rid of that. So that's $15 a month.
That's a Netflix subscription.
Yeah. Or a pizza and a half.
There you go.
Or a pizza with extra cheese or something. Whatever works for you. But that's the whole point, is that these little things add up. And you don't think about it that much because we got so many other things we're dealing with. We're dealing with doctors. And who's got time to worry about $14.99?
The inverse of this is setting up automatic stuff that will save you time, because you're thinking of so many things. And the inverse is, I want that automatic draft on the electric bill. Maybe. It depends on how it works for you.
The electric bill is okay.
Yeah.
Because you got to have electricity. Automatic draft. I do those things.
Yeah, exactly. But and it saves you from having to, oh, wait, I forgot that because I was doing so many things and now the power's out.
But there are companies out there that are making enormous amounts of money off of people who forget.
Ooh, gift cards.
And I'm telling you, this is they'll sign up for stuff and they're counting on you not to monitor this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care whether you use their product or not. They just want that sale. And they're counting on you. So if you sign up for something online, if you're getting a subscription to something online, for example, make sure that they have a qualified number, a customer service number, a qualified business address, and look at reviews and all that kind of stuff.
That one, the reviews.
Those.
If somebody says, I'm having so much trouble opting out of this, maybe take a second or third look.
Please, it's too easy just to click, and we don't read the fine print. And, you know, we've been watching on the news here, this whole thing with Facebook and everything else, how they're selling your data. You, as a Facebook user, you're not the customer. You're the product.
Oh, yeah.
And please don't forget that. If you're on social media, you're the product. Believe me, they know who you are, and they're selling your information to other people so that they can market their products and services to you by demographics or politics or whoever. And this has been going on for a long time. It's coming out on the surface now, but this is what they do. This is how they're making money, and they're targeting you. And as a caregiver, you're juggling enough things, and if you know you see something pop up, you say, okay, well, that looks like it'd be helpful, and then you forget about it because you're only juggling about 9,000 things. So take a moment to go through your bank statement. Take a moment to go through your phone and your apps and see what you're spending every month.
And your loved one's bank statement.
Particularly your loved one's bank statement and your loved one's phones and your loved one's stuff. Not that you're trying to be snoopy, but you just don't want to be. Do you have that kind of money to be thrown away every month?
Yeah. And it's you don't necessarily have to go through your phone, but look at their phone bill.
The phone bill. Right. Yeah. If you're helping them pay the bills, just be vigilant on that. You don't respect what you don't inspect. And so these are little things that we can do as caregivers to kind of simplify our lives, take away some of the strain in our lives, and feel like we are, okay, we're going to check this list off. We're going to check this particular box off, and we're going to make sure that we're operating in fiscal health. Like you said, fiscal health and physical health. Fiscal health is important.
I hear there's enough hemorrhaging going on with caregiving. You don't want financial hemorrhaging either, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at your copays, you look at how many, and you know, it doesn't hurt to have just an audit of the prescription drugs that are going on. You know, we got into that situation. With Gracie, because she was taking so many different, she had so many different doctors that were managing her, and they weren't coordinating very well. And all of a sudden realized, this guy's got her on this drug, this guy's got her on this drug, this lady's got her on this drug, and nobody's really talking and singing from the same hymnal. So let's go back and do an audit of our finances, of our drugs. Let's just keep it engaged so that we are simplifying it. Hey, this is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're so glad you're with us, and we especially want to welcome AM 660, 92.9 FM in Greenville, South Carolina. We're so glad you're with us. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I have. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you more than three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And we're so glad that you're with us. It's a treat to have you. Hey, John, you know, we like to do our senior moment of the day. For those of you new to the show, particularly those of you on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 in Greenville, South Carolina, welcome to the network. That's our brand new affiliate. We do a segment every week called Today's Senior Moment. I came up with the title myself.
You're so proud. Yes.
Well, I have so.
It is a good one. You know what I mean?
I have so little. Give me this. Okay. Today's Senior Moment. And this is brought to you by our friends at Morning Point Senior Living Center and Memory Care, morningpoint.com. And that's POINTE. There's an E at the end of that. And, you know, there are unique issues that go on with the senior community. And we have this aging baby boomer population.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the silver tsunami.
Ooh.
Have you not heard that?
I don't. You know what? I may have heard that on the show, but it didn't register until just then.
Well, and that's because you're looking at my silver hair.
Yeah. Well, this is whatever marketing genius came up with that.
The silver tsunami. And it is coming. They're estimating that more than $1 trillion in wealth will be transferred in taking care of the aging baby boomer population alone.
Yeah.
Just that group. Wow. And they have unique issues, and we try to talk about those. Now, some of these issues will bleed over into other disability-related issues, and this is one of those today. But primarily, we're going to talk about it in the aging community, and that is wandering.
Oh, okay.
Not wandering.
This is like I go walking after midnight.
I wander as I wander.
There you go.
I wander as I wander. You remember that song?
No.
There was an old song. I think it was a Christmas carol. I wander as I wander.
Okay.
Anyway, this is wandering, and it's one of the most common symptoms of Alzheimer's and other types of dementia. And now this can become a life or death situation. And you've seen, well, we see this on the news, that so-and-so has wandered off from a place or a family member. And it's a very distressing thing for the family. And I also see this with children with autism.
Tends to happen, yeah.
And we talked about this on the show one time, and elopement, they call it elopement.
Yes.
Where the child with autism will just leave.
Yeah, well, and they do this with seniors as well. They call it that. I saw, this was interesting. I saw what was called an anti-elopement door at the at some senior care facility, and it was disguised to look like a bookcase.
That is really cool.
That's really cool.
That is very cool, John. Yeah. That is so cool. I like that, John.
Yeah.
It's a secret panel.
Yeah, there you go. But, well, yeah.
Well, this issue is affecting a lot of folks. And here's some tips. Now, this is what the folks at Morning Point say that really work. Okay. So we're going to just they call this, by the way, they're just wandering. It's disorientation, or they're trying to reach a place from the past.
Ooh.
Sundowner syndrome. And we've talked about sundowning here. Going home syndrome. And this is different names they call it. So here's a couple of tips. Brief the local police and your neighbor and all your neighbors in your neighborhood watch area or whatever, and just let them know of your situation. Just as an added safety precaution.
Yeah.
You know, go talk to your neighbor and say, hey, look, I just want to let you know.
Yeah, because it can be difficult if we see somebody who otherwise is behaving normally, but just walking down the side of the road. If they're a stranger to us, we're not going to do anything about it, maybe. But if we know that person's not supposed to be out, that's Ed from up the road. We really need to figure out what's going on here.
They're an at-risk member of society.
Yes.
Let's treat them as such. You know, there's a neighborhood thing in where I live, and I don't know how many people are on the email list, and if somebody's dog gets out, there's one lady who sends out an email to everybody on the list. And that's her kind of her assigned thing, and she's kind of a community watch person. And
okay.
You call her and say, hey, my dog is missing. She'll send out an alert, and we'll find the dog. Ask me how I know this.
You have a border collie, don't
well,
you?
Well, he's an Australian shepherd.
And
he's,
okay.
He's a fine dog, Mac. Now, he doesn't wander as much as he used to.
Okay.
Because he's old. but he would get out all the time.
Well, he's a working dog.
Well, he is, and he was working it. But that's, you know, we do that over our pets. What about over our family members? and aging parents and so forth. I think there's an opportunity that we can do this and be able to care for our loved ones in that manner and let people just let people know, okay? Provide the local police, your neighbors and so forth. And then also provide a safe, uncluttered environment.
Okay.
That's one of the things that the tips they offer. And if they're restless, check for physical triggers, like they're too hungry or they're hot or too hot or too cold or they got to go to the bathroom or something. There may be a physical trigger that sends them wandering.
Gotcha.
And so just check in with them. Give them something repetitive to do, like folding clothes.
Ooh.
You know.
Bonus, get your clothes folded.
Bonus. And here's another stack of laundry that just keeps coming out of nowhere. And then also increase the daily physical activity to prevent boredom. And that's what we had to do, by the way, with Mac, our Aussie, because he's
bored. A working dog.
He gets bored easily, and yeah. You got to keep him busy. Otherwise, he's going to find something to do. Well, children are the same way.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. I got two of them. They're young, and so I know exactly how to distract them.
We're all the same way, actually. But those are some specific tips brought to you by the folks at Morning Point, morningpoint.com, and that's point with an E. Go check them out and see what they're doing to help seniors and people living with memory issues and so forth. Hey, listen, this is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're glad you're with us. It's called Hope for the Caregiver. And we appreciate you being with us. We're coming right back here. We got an interview with Paul Young, the author of The Shack. You're not going to want to miss it. And we'll be right back. Show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you more than 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. The show is called Hope for the Caregiver. The book is called Hope for the Caregiver. Everything we're doing is designed to strengthen the family caregiver. And along the way, we'll bring in different kinds of guests, special interviews of medical providers, people who provide a service or a product for caregivers, inspiring interviews and so forth. And one of those is my next guest. And we had a chance to sit down with him and unpack some of his thoughts, particularly as it arose from his book. The best-selling book is called The Shack. And I had a chance to sit down with Paul and talk about this book and let him share some insights that he's gleaned along the way as this book has exploded onto the worldwide stage. And so we wanted to share that interview with you today. So this is my time with Paul Young. And this gentleman used to live here in Middle Tennessee.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he wrote this book called The Shack.
Okay.
And it became a sensation. I mean, I think they've sold like 1 trillion.
I think they've surpassed
McDonald's now.
Oh, wow.
They stopped counting. It's sold
so
many.
If you lay the amount of books end to end,
how long is it?
Wow.
But it was one of those books that gripped people's attention, and it caused no small amount of controversy. And it's a phenomenal book, and Paul Young is with us. So, Paul, we're going to get right to it. Paul, are you with us?
I am certainly with you.
Paul.
And just think about this. We've got Peter, John,
and Paul.
I know, right?
At one time.
Well, my confirmation name is George. Does that help?
Okay. My first name is William. So.
As long as Ringo's not anywhere around.
Not really.
Listen, I first of all, thank you for taking the time to call and share this. I got to ask you, Paul, because from what I understand, and I'm just going to jump right into this, this book started really from humble and from what I gather, rather painful events that prompted you to go into this story and craft this story.
Yeah. So people ask me how long it took to write it, and I tell them 50 years, because you have to live a while, I think, before you write stuff that actually resonates with human beings the way The Shack has. And It does. It comes out of great sadness and all of those terms. You know, I am Mackenzie. In fact, a writer from Nashville, Leanne Stewart, wrote me when the book first came out, and she said, you know, I don't know anything about you or who you are, but my sense is that Missy, who is the main character's daughter, who is abducted and feared to have been really brutally murdered, and that's the centerpiece of the storyline, although it's never graphic, and the movie's not graphic either, so you don't have to worry about that. But she said, my sense is that Missy represents something murdered in you as a child, probably your innocence, and Mackenzie is you as the adult trying to deal with that. But she was absolutely spot on. That means that she had read it in a way that, you know, she got past just the storyline and into some of the depths of it. And so I am Mackenzie, and I am Melissa Ann Missy, Melissa Ann Phillips. And both of them, their names spell map on purpose so that you've got that interplay between the two characters. And, but, you know, so it is a story, and it has power as a story, because I think good stories always are powerful. I think every human being is a story. And yet on another whole level, it wraps up my history. And I wrote it as just a gift for my kid, because Kim had been asking me for about 4 years, you know, someday, as a gift for our kids, would you just write something that puts in one place how you think, because you think outside the box. And later, by the way, when the book was in print, she said, you know, when I asked you, I was thinking like 4 to 6 pages. And so, you know, but, you know, so I wrote most of it on the train to one of my 3 jobs. My great sadness is growing up. I'm a missionary kid, preacher's kid, and grew up in the highlands of New Guinea. And I had a very difficult relationship with my dad. And as a result, I think, largely, I had a difficult relationship with God as father. And that took me a lot of years. It took me 50 years to wipe the face of my own father off the face of God. Then a second great sadness had to do with sexual abuse, which happened in the tribal culture, and then when I was sent away to missionary boarding school when I was 6. And after that, there was just sexual abuse inside. You know, the big boys would come at night and molest the little boys. So, you know, and there's nothing quite like sexual abuse. It just rips the fabric of the human soul apart. And I know you have a lot of heroic people that listen to your show. I mean, people who care for those who cannot care for themselves, or who assist those who don't have the capacity. Those people are the hands and feet of Jesus, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, you go through trauma, and you go through darkness, and you go through great sadness, and the questions are legitimate. So I wrote a book for my kids saying, basically, I don't want you growing up with the God that I grew up with, because that God was no help. That's the distant, unapproachable, unreachable, omni-being watching from the infinite distance of a disapproving heart. It is the God who requires sacrifice and performance and all this, and the God that Jesus came to save us from. And I'm going like, you know what? I don't want you growing up with that God. Let me see if I can craft imagery that is helpful, that gives us a sense of the relationship of a God who is a God of relentless affection, who climbs into our great sadnesses and our difficulties on a daily basis, and crafts with us inside the grace of just one day at a time something that is alive, something that matters. And I write this little book. I make 15 copies at Office Depot, and those 15 copies did everything I ever wanted this book to do. And yet now it's done this absolutely just unparalleled kind of thing for a book that was printed at Office Depot. It's in what, 50 languages and 22 plus million copies and that have sold, and so it's just the sense of the grace of God behind this. And the other thing too is that it gave people 2 things: a language to have a conversation about God that wasn't religious, and a validation for our great sadnesses. It says, you know what? The struggle you're in, the tears that you cry, those tears actually matter. And your story matters. You know, you're the one that Jesus left the 99 to go find. And I'm the one. And it just has resonated with people. And even though some of my own people, you know, fundamental evangelical, modern evangelical religious folk, have some difficulty with what I did, they're my people, and I know how what they're afraid of and what they're stuck about. But for so many millions of people, the book has been a pathway into an honest conversation about tragedy and loss and hope and redemption and forgiveness and the things that truly matter to us as human beings.
You said a couple of things there that resonated: relentless affection of God, and that you also, it was a way to validate the great sadness that we have in our own pain. And when I read this book, you know, I've been watching my wife being wheeled down surgery corridors now for so many years. I mean, it just, and it just kept going and going and going, and the relentless pain. And that's when your book came into my life and said, where is God in these long hospital corridors? You know, that's where it came with me. And when I read this book and I realized, you know, he is here, and he's not abandoning me. This is not some kind of curse. This is not some kind of deformity that is somehow
or failure of faith.
And it was such a breath of fresh air to be able to have that conversation and talk about how that's impacted. You know, and I will tell you this. My mother wanted me to tell you this. She took your book. Mom and Dad have had a ministry to death row inmates for years. I mean, like almost 20 years. And they've taken your book down to these death row inmates who could wrap their minds around what you were saying. You gave them language to process, because you talk about having to wipe their father's face off the face of God. And that's what they did this. And they took this down there. And these there's, I don't know how many inmates on death row that Mom and Dad have engaged with. And your book has been a part of that. How does that resonate with you as an author when you hear stuff like that? Because those are powerful stories, and I know you have millions of stories like that. And just share some of that.
Well, 3 months ago, I was on death row in Tennessee with Terry King. Spent about 2.5 hours with him and Ron, Terry's been on death row for 33 years, and Ron's been on death row for 30 years. And it was through a friend of a friend that I got invited to spend 2.5 hours with these gentlemen. And let me tell you, these are two guys who the shack has absolutely wrecked their world in the best possible way. And let me tell you how this worked for Terry. So I'm there for 2.5 hours with these guys. And Terry would reach over and he'd just touch my arm and he'd start to cry. And he would say, "I can't believe you're actually here." And he said, "You know, when I read your book, I got to the chapter..." It's chapter 11, where Mackenzie has to face the wisdom of God, and it's a very confrontive chapter about how judgmental we are, where we judge everything, and we also judge God. We judge that God is not good, and we've done that. We have come up with a theology that has placed all this brokenness at the feet of God, and sadly, Christians are some of the... We say some of the stupidest things sometimes to people who are in pain, like, "Oh, this was God's will," or "This was the plan of God," or, you know, and I go on and on about the stupid things that we Christians say. But again, he says, so I'm in this confrontation. He said, "I never really dealt with what I had done," you know, and he was on death row for a reason. And it's like, I never really had dealt with it, because at least I wasn't a pedophile. He said, "I had spent these years judging those guys, and because I judged them, I didn't deal with what I had done." And he said, "It was so powerful in my cell that I was literally on the floor of the cell, crawling on it as if I was trying to get out of my own skin."
Oh, man.
And he said, "That's when I began to realize what I had done. And that's when I owned it, and that's what opened up a doorway to freedom." There's one example, and I'm so grateful for what your mom and dad do. And this is what Terry said. He said, "You know, so since then," he said, "I've been trying to find somebody who'll come and visit the pedophiles on death row, because some of them haven't had a visitor in, you know, decades, and not one." And so what your parents are doing, and what your caregivers are doing who listen to your show, come on, these folks are the heroes, man. I wrote a book, and let me tell you, one of my grandkids will outlast every creative thing I've ever done, other than being a participant in bringing new life into this world.
Can you repeat that again for the people in the back?
I love that line. Go ahead and say that one more time, Paul. That you're one of your grandkids. I love that.
Oh, one of my grandchildren will outlive all the, you know, what the world counts as a creative success, you know, the book or the movie and all that kind of stuff. One, and here is a good picture, because every child that comes into this universe is because two human beings have made a choice. That there has been, whether those choices were defensible or not defensible, whether the motives were wrong or right, God still submitted to their choice to create a human being, and he climbs into that and sparks the life that will be eternal. I mean, every one of our children is an eternal being. So that tells you that the way God sees the universe is different than us. I mean, we'll applaud the book and the movie and the song and whatever, whatever, but one child, all of that. There's a scene that's so great, and they captured it really well in the movie, and it's from the book, and Mackenzie and Jesus are talking on the dock, and Jesus, they're looking at this incredible expanse of night stars, because this is the creative work of Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, Mackenzie, all of this, all as beautiful as it is, doesn't begin to compare with how we see you.
Wow.
And that's the truth. So your caregivers, who every day are putting one foot in front of the other, are living inside the grace of the day, because, you know, when you deal with death row or you deal with an illness that you're just fighting against it every day, whether it's Alzheimer's or something else, the truth of it is that what you're doing actually matters. Every moment of that is infused by the presence of God and the goodness of God, because you're an expression of it. That desire to care for that one you love did not originate in you. You share it, but it did not originate there. That is the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being expressed through your participation inside the grace of a day, and what you're doing really matters.
Paul, that is incredibly beautiful to hear, and we got to take a quick break, then we're going to come back and wrap this up. Can you hang with us through the break?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Paul Young, author of The Shack, and you're not going to want to miss this. He deals with the hard realities of life, of pain, of horrific things in the context of dealing with the Almighty and the Trinity, and you're not going to want to miss it. Paul Young, we'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. The show is Hope for the Caregiver. We're continuing our interview with Paul Young, author of The Shack, the wildly best-selling book that hit and is also now a major motion picture. Paul, I want you to know how much I appreciate the words that you said about caregivers. There are so many who are laboring under this misguided thing that somehow they've been forgotten by God. I've said this for a long time, that caregivers struggle with three I's. We lose our identity, we lose our independence, and we become isolated. And caregivers can feel isolated in a crowded room. We can feel isolated on a crowded pew. And that's something I'm on a mission to help churches understand, is the brokenhearted isolation that is sitting right there in front of them in the actual church, if they could get to that church. And then they're hearing about all this victory, and then they go home and deal with horrific circumstances. You have given a toolbox for people to understand that this is not a judgment from God. I remember when Gracie was going through all these things, and people would say awful things like you just referenced. Close up with just one more word of encouragement to these folks who are just feeling like God has abandoned them.
This is what I wish the church would understand, that any healthy family moves at the speed of the slowest. And if you think about it, you immediately, that makes sense to you. That if you've got if you've got a child that comes into this world because of genetics and because of the, what human beings have done to the planet and for all kinds of other reasons, they come in broken, you know that that family begins to slow down. Any healthy family moves at the speed of the slowest. And when church becomes an institution, it doesn't care about the slowest. And it's because it's an institution. Institutions don't, they don't have real life. And we've got to remember that the church has always been about people. So we need to change the way that we relate and understand that we've got to slow down the pace so that we can move also at the speed of the slowest. And the other thing, too, is that you're not designed for isolation. We're made in the image of a God who's never been alone. Aloneness doesn't exist within the Imago Dei, the image of God that we're made in, and we're not designed for it. We need community, and you cannot do this stuff by yourself. So, you know, the thing about it is that, that we've lied so long about the goodness of God that we don't believe it anymore. And you can't run to God as a source of comfort if he is the source of our pain. It's just you can't trust someone who's not good all the time. And part of all that I'm trying to say is this is a God who's good all the time and involved in the details of our lives.
Hmm. Paul, that's what I need to hear as a caregiver. And I know that I speak for so many who are daily, relentlessly dealing with this. And I want you to know how grateful I am that you have taken the time and come and share your heart, things you've learned, not the easy way. No, I don't think any of us learn this kind of stuff the easy way. But no. you have shared, you have opened up your heart and shared and really been a blessing today. You've helped me as a caregiver and me personally.
Yeah, I'm so honored. And the movie is powerful, and it is a beautiful adaptation of the book. Anybody that loved the book will not be disappointed by the movie.
Oh,
and take tissue. I mean, it'll sing to you.
Well, being from South Carolina, we'll take toilet paper, rolls of toilet paper. We're not.
Come on.
Well, listen, thank you so much for this, Paul. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of participating. Blessings on your day. Bye-bye.
This is what this show is about, equipping you to stay strong and healthy in the midst of these horrific things, and I'm on a mission to do this, and we're going to bring you great shows, great programs, great conversations from folks who can help you, and I've got it all out there in a nice aggregated package at the website where you can take advantage of this, and you can all of a sudden find that you're not alone in the thoughts that you've been having, the feelings that you've been having. If you're feeling it, we're discussing it. I mean, there is nothing that goes on in a caregiver's life that we don't address on this show. And I am grateful that you're taking 1 hour. This is your respite hour for you to dial in and connect with other caregivers and people who understand your journey. You know, it's not just about getting a good night's sleep. Sleep ain't rest. Rest is learning to recognize that it's not all up to you. And that's one of the landmines in my book, Seven Caregiver Landmines, thinking that it's all up to you, but it's not. We're here, and we're going to do this together. Go to standingwithhope.com for more. This is Peter Rosenberg. I'll see you next week.